Fight. Welcome to the Philosophy of Fighting Podcast with your hosts, Arturo and Anoop.
All right, we're on yet another episode. I don't even know what number we're on right now. 76.
Oh, wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, we're in that last quarter of a century.
We're almost at 100. Nice. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I got a lot of feedback from our last episode, too, the $46 million lawsuit.
What did people say?
In person, DMs. They're just kind of interested in it. They people in the community that responded are all in like full agreeance. It seems like everyone's against Henner. I haven't really met many people pro Henner in this scenario.
Henner did come out with an additional video, and at least online, some people were like, oh, okay. But then a lot of other people are also like, yeah, this is a good video, but we still don't agree with your initial assessment that this was reckless. And right. We also think you're money hungry. So like the video is good, but we feel as though it's still part of your demeanor of being slightly phony. So mm-hmm. We're not going to take it that much to heart. But I doubt Henner cares, because I feel like all the people from the outside that just briefly look at it go, okay, understood. I don't hate you anymore. But the people mm-hmm. that are like diehard BJJ type people are still like, I don't really respect you right now for what you've done.
Yeah.
Right? That's where it's coming down. And I saw our friend Brandon kind of agreed and was like upset at the situation.
Yeah, a lot of people. Yeah. And then just, yeah, to me, it's a freak thing. It's cool from people in the jiu-jitsu community here, like they agree. And I think there was also a lot of people outside of the jiu-jitsu community that agreed. But I do think the people that mostly disagreed are people outside of the community.
Yeah, because they don't know. It really had like some impact on my view of the judicial system a little bit too, because you are being judged by your peers and a lot of things, but say like it's like a high level white collar crime, like IRS type shit.
Mm-hmm.
How do the jurors know anything? Like, you know what I mean? It's confusing. And that's why those motherfuckers always get off. And similarly, like, yeah, like a sport is confusing if you don't know it. And jiu-jitsu is confusing. And so if you don't know the sport, you could easily be like, that was so reckless. When in reality, like, that's part of the sport. Like, same thing in football. People might be like, that was reckless, but football's a violent sport, right?
So yeah, well, that's why that expert testimony is everything, because that's what's informing that jury.
Yeah, but then experts are bought out easily, and they're corrupt mm-hmm. and greedy. And then so it's like, yeah, who are the people that become experts? Like, often the people that are, like, the hustler types. And the hustler types are sometimes, like, not the most trustworthy. I feel like that's why I'm like just respecting like the middle class type people. There's a good quote from Mike Tyson. I was watching one of these like Instagram reels.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt this way, but he was in a room of like, John F. Kennedy Jr. was talking about great men. And he's like, the thing about great men is like, they're not good people, you know? And so like good people have a chance to become a great person, right? And so Mike's like, I want to be a good person, you know? But all these great people, to get to the highest level, a lot of times I think you're stepping on others and right, like grinding your way. So yeah, the expert testimony.
Yeah,
we just live in a world now where it's hard to trust a lot of people, and that's what's scary.
Yes. Yep.
That terrifies me, because I want to respect the experts, but now everything seems fake, right? Like fake news. Like it's hard to trust the media. It's hard to trust like certain things, scientists, like.
Yeah, it is really tough. I think in the age where you can profit off things, people are being bought out left and right, and it just clouds everyone's decision making.
Yeah. And as like a somewhat like liberal type person, for me, like I was always pissed at like the right when they wouldn't acknowledge evolution or climate change. I'm like, yo, the data says like this shit. And then the left went on their gender war. And I was kind of like, yo, I don't like this angle. You're supposed to be the science people, you know? And then here I am like kind of stuck in the middle where I'm like, come on, like, let's get back to like some science. Everything just seems off kilter, you know? And then that's what I like about jiu-jitsu, where it seems what's somewhat straightforward. And then this like accident thing, and then money, and then steroids. Like, it's just like, well, everything is complicated, I guess. There's no like just purity of something simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking,
you know, annoying. I'm curious, like, does this change the structure of classes or gyms?
I think as a teacher, I think not enough has been done, maybe, to analyze the best way to teach fighting.
Well, do you think it's different than most other sports? I mean, people contend on how to teach other sports too. There's people that let them play the game, and then when something arises, then they stop the game and like, oh, okay, here is what we're doing. Here's how we can make that better. Versus there's people that are just like, okay, here's the plan of attack today. We're going to do this, this, and this, and then we'll try to apply it, right? It's like two different ways to go about it. And you can compare that to jiu-jitsu or fighting or anything else. Is if you see someone going for a move or a sweep and you're seeing it being done incorrectly, or you just see someone doesn't have an answer for this particular thing, okay, let's stop right where you are. You see the problem you're having. Okay, well, let's go over this. It's not a commonly, I haven't seen that in the jiu-jitsu community, or even I see it more in the striking community a little bit, but it's not a common way to teach, but I do think it's a great way to teach. But I'm wondering, if you were to look at this lawsuit, would you even have people sparring then to find that means, or are you just going to do so much drilling and then situational sparring maybe only? It's weird. So my question is what do you think the best way to teach someone is to get them the best way possible? And then is it different than teaching someone in the safest way possible?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, first, let me just say, as a medium blue belt, I'm not the most experienced, but as a teacher of 15 years, I like to analyze teaching. And sometimes I reflect and I think obviously there's a ton of amazing black belts and amazing fighters. Mm-hmm. So clearly jiu-jitsu is doing something right. Right. And so this is not a takedown on jiu-jitsu, because
sure.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we want to do things better, but we forget the classics also exist. So the way most normal classes run, where you warm up and then you drill some things and then you do situational drilling and then you do rolling,
yeah,
I think is great. So that's cool. But I think we should switch it up the way you said. It shouldn't be the same thing every day. And I'm also just noticing it as say I bring a new person into the class, somebody that's never done jiu-jitsu or anything. A lot of times they're okay, well, what's it going to be like? Or is it a beginner's class? And the reality is oh no, you're just with everybody. And what are we learning? Oh, I don't know what we're learning. We've been working on guillotines, or we've been working on leg locks. And so it's kind of flowy, which I kind of like in some ways, but also I could see where when new people start, it feels I don't know what's happening. And I also just saw, it just made me think, because I saw somebody on Reddit, a purple belt, kind of complain that was I don't like going to class anymore. They're I just learned so much more from rolling. And they're I feel bad because I've learned so much from my teacher and I love them, but I just don't feel I'm learning, I'm bored. And so, yeah, it just made me change my perspective on things. Your initial question was, is it safer? And what else?
Well, what is the best way to teach? Is it different, the best way to teach athletes versus what is the best way to teach the safest way? Are those two things conflicting? Are those two things different? If I'm going to teach someone the safest way, then they're probably not going to spar at all. But it's probably not the best for their own personal development, right?
Exactly.
So then the question is, how do you balance it? I think some gyms do beginner classes. So it's they can get some experience and then you can probably maybe go about the other way. I think another question that can kind of arise is, what's the ideal class look like in terms of how much time is allotted for warm-up, instruction, rolling, sparring, situationals? What is the perfect class structure? In essence, since also most classes are an hour, in my gym we have hour and a half to 2 hour classes.
Yeah, me too.
We don't do anything less than an hour and a half. And usually we get at least 45 minutes of rolling time.
Same. Yes.
Yeah. Our
structure the same. 20 minutes
in the 2 hour classes, it'll be over an hour of rolling. So it's one of those things where it's is that ideal? Should it be more? Should it be less? And if you're looking at it from a varying experience level of people in the class,
I think that is ideal. And I think it's the best. My only issue is I think it would be better if there was a little bit more variety of how things work. And then also if there was a little bit more structure, but I don't know if that would make it boring.
Okay.
Because I could see that too, but maybe have it written out, like in my syllabus, all right, this week we're doing economic geography. Then we're doing political geography. Then we're talking about war. Then we're talking about food, so maybe it could be side control escapes, guillotines. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like it's laid out this week or that month is this, and this is specifically we're going to work on. I was also thinking the idea of like even how you're graded, because like how you get your belts are so vague, like which part of me likes. Like, I like the kung fu aspect of like, yo, when you're ready, you're ready, you know, and you get it and you're tough. But also, should it be like, hey, I think you should at least be like an 8 out of 10 on takedowns, and you should be at least like a 7 out of 10 on arm bars, you know, or like, you know, like have like a rank system. Mm-hmm. So you kind of know how to do things, or does that take away from the art of martial arts, you know, where it should be vague?
No, I don't think you could, because like there's very different styles. So to say like, oh, I would expect this, all of these moves to equal this belt level, you're like, not, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, all right, well, that big guy's not going to do those small guy moves. That small guy's, the athlete's going to be able to do like these types of moves. Like, I think that freedom allows the different styles to become each belt. And that's what kind of makes it exciting and stuff too.
That's a great point.
Whereas if we like structured it over too much, then we'd have like the same type of fighter every time.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess I'm just comparing us to like other
like
sports.
School and degrees, like you need to pass this class to get to this, like there's these prereqs. I mean, there are some of those things, and sometimes we take it for granted. Like Darlene last night, she showed me this video of a purple belt doing like this back roll into a front roll and stuff, and was like, and she's like, can you do this? I get that all the time because I'm pretty mobile, and people are like, oh, can you do this? And I'm like, of course I can do this. I was like, in fact, I think any purple belt can do this move. And I was like, I think every single blue belt that I train with can do this move. She's like, really? And so I did it last night, and she was like, oh, okay. And then I did it and I posted it up to see if people think Darlene can do it. And it was kind of like 50-50. I think maybe a little bit more people didn't think she can do it.
I think she could do it.
Well, they were correct. She couldn't do it. But like, I think she can if she practices a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it made me think about that. I'm like, oh, this is a weird thing to do. And only people that train, I would really expect them to do this. Even though like the particular move is not like directly applicable for jiu-jitsu, I would expect, like if I were to make someone a blue belt, I'm like, oh yeah, you should be able to do that move. And then it started making me think, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Why? Why would I expect that to be done if it's not necessarily applicable in like sparring? I don't know. It is like indirectly, it's loosely. So I found that very interesting, because usually for me in my mindset, I don't think warm-ups are very productive in jiu-jitsu. It is if your class is beginners and or out of shape, and it's a good means of like getting them going. It might also be good with white belts to tire them out a little, so they're not aggressively spazzing out on each other during rolls. It's almost like, oh, we get it out a little bit, and so they're a little bit more calm, cool, you know? And just, it's better for them overall, their health. But I've always thought like from blue belt on, your warm-up should just be drilling and exploring through your drilling. Like you get a little bit of instruction and then explore through it a little bit. Even if it was striking too, like if you're learning a particular combo or a particular move, I think like, oh, you're learning the sweep. Okay, well, play around with whatever sub comes to your mind after the sweep. You know, exactly. I think that type of exploring is what keeps people entertained. So in the instance of that Reddit purple belt where he's like, oh, I'm just kind of like bored. I get more from rolling. No, you're not really like getting the exploratory phase of your drilling. At least that's how it's always been in my school. Like, it's like, yeah, do the move. You might know this move in and out. It might be one of your bread and butter moves, but maybe start linking it up a little bit, or maybe start finding a better setup to get into that. Like, use that move, but, you know, start your decision tree on both ends of it before and after the move, you know?
Yeah, so I prefer that type of warm up too. I like that, but we usually do that.
I always like that. I always like the first thing we do is takedowns, like drilling a takedown and then drilling something from the floor. Particularly, it'd be great if it was from that takedown, like sequencing it.
Exactly.
And then sub. I like that. Takedown, a pass, whatever it is, a sweep, reversal, whatever, and then a sub from it. I think that's like kind of the best sequencing way to do it.
So that's what we
give your upper belts a chance to explore a little bit from there.
Yeah, that's what we do. We start with a brief warm up. We run around the gym a little bit. Mm-hmm. Then we do some hip escapes, some elbow escapes, some forward rolls. And at first I was annoyed I didn't like doing it, right? Like, I was like, who wants to do that? But then since we talked about the injury, I've been appreciating, hey, even though we don't like doing this, it's good to get warmed up. Right. And it's good to just practice moving your hips and, like, you know, like getting a little loose and doing those things. And then exactly what you said, we usually go into a takedown, but I also love, instead of just doing the takedown, when you're kind of just with the person and it's like, all right, just work any takedown you want. Right. And so you're just like flowing, like you're going 20% and you're just like letting each other take each other down. And your mind is
Actually one of my favorite things is you put like 5 minutes on the clock and each person just takes a turn with a takedown.
Yep.
But as soon as the takedown's hit, the person on defense has to find their way up and out of the takedown. And then they begin their takedown from there. So you're flowing from like the defense to offense over and over again.
Nice.
It's incredibly tiring, even though it's like orchestrated almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a great way to like learn to flow as soon as you're getting taken down, like getting back up, hitting a switch, like whatever it is, it's a good way to go. I mean, we do this in Muay Thai too. Usually throw offense. And as soon as they're done throwing their offense on you, you're defending, then you fire back. And so you go back and forth and back and forth. And I think the grappling community could get a lot more learning from doing that if they copied the strikers a little bit more in that regard. But yeah, I love that style. I think that's a great way to do it, but not if you're a beginner. Right? You're not going to tell someone like, oh, go whatever takedown you know. Like, they might only know one. And yeah, maybe they just keep drilling that one. Yeah, they get really good at it. But again, if you have someone there for like the first day, or maybe like their first week and they haven't even learned one yet, you're not going to do that then. And you change the whole game lesson plan.
See, I like the idea though of the beginner also just being forced to catch up. You know what I mean?
I don't mind that too. It depends on their level though. What if that beginner is a 16-year-old kid?
Yeah, same though. I still like the
same. Okay. Well, what if he's overweight Henry that weighs like 310 and has never done anything? He can barely take steps in the right direction. You know what I mean? Like, it depends.
Yeah, still. I know. You're right.
There has to be a certain level of proficiency.
So remember I told you last week I had one of my students that was like getting bullied, like, and I told them they got to come in. So they did come in.
Oh, nice.
And they came in with a friend, which was good. But I've noticed, I don't know if it's just my friends that come when it's like their first time and I'm just like pushing them or not. Mm-hmm. But I notice like they're always like a little nervous and they're always like a little giggly.
Interesting.
I don't know if they're giggly because they're nervous or they're giggly because there's men on top of each other. You know what I mean? And it's like different than they're like used to, like physically. Mm-hmm. But part of me wondered, like, is that also because it's just broad and we're like, what's the first thing we teach them? Like rolling over, like a hip escape, like weird movements where maybe if it was like you got a paper with like a syllabus and was like, hey, this is what's going to go through. And, you know, by week three, you should learn some signs of how to defend yourself. And by week 12, like you should, you know what I mean? Like, I wonder if that would help or would that structure scare people even more? Cause this is already kind of like a semi-scary thing for people to do.
So I could tell you in CrossFit, most gyms will do like a trial class, right? But if it's a good gym, their trial class will be on a day where the workout is a lot easier to teach. It's more elementary. Like, you can't just like come in at any time. Like, usually you make an appointment. Okay, you should come in at this particular day. We're doing this type of workout. And then the coach is easier able to, you know, teach these more basic movements that we're doing. They also usually inform the coach so they're prepared, like, just to like walk this person through a little bit more than like the average member. After that trial class, if they decide to join, they can't just go to classes. They usually go through what's called foundations. And each gym is different. Some gyms do like one session, two session, three sessions. Some people gyms do five sessions, I've heard, of just teaching them the movements, learning the vernacular. And then after you complete that, now you can go to classes, because now we know when we tell you a particular exercise, you'll at least know the standards we're looking for, how to perform it, and even just what it is.
Yeah.
So like the flow of the class can keep going. I always wondered if jiu-jitsu would benefit from that, or is it just like too much to upsell? The CrossFit community does it. And the CrossFit community and the jiu-jitsu community are pretty like similar price points, similar structure, multiple classes a day, about an hour. Like, it's similar. But CrossFit is set on doing that. Like, that's typically how it works. I wonder if jiu-jitsu, like if we did like a foundations, you know, you have a one-on-one with a coach and you learn forward rolls, backward rolls, shrimp. You just learn the positions. This is what guard, half guard, mount, side control. Like, you're just learning the game. So when you go to class, you're like, oh, okay, I know what the point is.
I think it's a difference, though, in economics, maybe. Because now that we're like talking about it, like that would be an additional class. And that's another class that the teacher
has. So CrossFit charges for that. They charge for it like, oh, hey, you can't join until you do foundations. It'll be, you know, $150, whatever it is. Then after that, your membership would begin.
Huh. I just don't know if, because every jiu-jitsu or fighting teacher I've ever had is part-time. They all have other jobs. Like they don't make enough money from fighting. And so I
most
feel like
CrossFit coaches are the same.
Oh, really? CrossFit coaches are the same?
Mostly.
I just figured CrossFit people had more money. I'm imagining like...
It's really similar. I'm in both worlds. The pricing structure is similar. I just think CrossFitters know how to sell it. I mean, even like, I always explain it to people as like, oh yeah, your foundations can be like a litmus test. Learn all the movements. It's like a broad landscape of what we do. If you decide like, ah, oh, you know what? I learned all this stuff. I don't think it's for me. Cool. You're out. There's no commitment. Like, we make it very non-committal. Do the foundations at your litmus test. If you don't like it, cool, you're done. At least you've learned a bunch of movements, some standards, the reasons why you do them. And you can take that into your own gym life going forward. You know a little bit more.
Huh.
You know what I mean? It's very non-committal. I'm like, okay, if you want to be a member after that point, cool. Then you're free to go to whatever classes you want. You're good.
I feel like, I don't know why. You're right. The communities are similar, but I just don't know if the practitioner is similar.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
I wonder if it's better to just get the fighter in there and be like, hey, you're not scared? Like, good, you made it. Like, you know, like you need that little bit of baptism by fire. Mm-hmm. When I was rolling with the person and their friend, like, and they came in, I was like, all right, let's roll for a minute and a half at the end. Just because I wanted them to feel like a sweat and like a little bit of aggression.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going very light, like I wasn't trying to do anything. And then I was like, all right, come on, get on top of me, try to stay on top of me. And then the person was like, at the end, they were like, did you let me win? And I was like, yeah, of course. I let you. Like, you know, like how bad would I be if I, but I wonder if there's like, cause there's so much ego in fighting and stuff like that. Like, I wonder if people wouldn't even want to do the foundation. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, maybe. We also have a thing where like, if you've gone to another gym and you have like 6 months experience, we don't make you go through foundations because it's like, all right, you probably already know. And what you don't know, we can probably clean up. You know, like it's not like your foundation's probably already set. So we do that thing. And then there's some people that come in, they're like, oh, I don't really think I need foundations. I've been doing like these types of movements for a long time and stuff. We're like, okay, we do a test out one session.
Exactly.
You show me all these movements and they're like, all right, yeah, you're free to go, dude.
Maybe they should do that in jiu-jitsu. The idea is like the velvet rope theory with startups.
Right.
You know? They would always say like, yo, don't let anybody just sign up to your app, make it like vaguely hard because then they want to get in just like a nightclub in the city. Like you can't let everybody in. Maybe if you did that with like jiu-jitsu and fighting, like some people be like, no, give me that test. And they'll work hard to get to that test. And maybe the white belts won't be so white belt spazzish.
Yeah.
If that was done, like that could be interesting. And then with the foundations, you could have a lot more structure. And then it's like, okay, now we're
So now like your class flow is better and it's a potential extra income stream.
Yeah. Well, would it be extra income stream? But it's still just part of the subscription, right? Like you're there, you got to pass foundations first before you get.
Yeah, but their foundations is an additional cost. It doesn't count as membership, at least in CrossFit.
Oh, additional cost?
Mm-hmm. It's not even additional cost. It's just like, this is the cost to do foundations. Okay, once foundations is done, then you could decide on membership and then your membership would start whenever you start.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So it's one of those things. It's not like we're charging your membership and then also
okay.
No, you're not a member yet.
You're not a member yet. I kind of like that idea. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The more I'm talking about it, I kind of like the way classes are done. I just think
it'd be growing up with this style. I don't think it's bad. I just wonder about ways to improve it and just different experiences. Like maybe CrossFit does that because, you know, we're doing X, Y, and Z today. You need to know what X, Y is. If you don't know how to perform it, now I've got to teach you that while the class has to hit their workout because they all have to do this structured thing. Where in jiu-jitsu, I know my purple belts could just roll with each other and they're going to get good experience of that. They don't have to do X, Y, and Z that the white belt needs to do. So like that's different, you know? So maybe that is ultimately what it comes down to. That's why there's a difference there.
Yeah.
But and I also contend like some people are like, I don't think warmups are useful. Like, does everyone need to be able to do front rolls, back rolls? I would contend they do, but
yeah, Ryan Hall was talking about hating shrimping. He was saying like shrimping is a waste. And like, yeah, Ryan Hall's like a famous black belt. So like, yeah, you take that with value, but then it's also like, well, everybody's been doing it. So there is some methodology, right? Or is everybody just doing it because we're blind zombies? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I think one of the harder moves to do, but I think it is very useful, is like inverting. You know how like you do like the rolls over your side?
Yeah.
So it looks like you're like spinning in a washing machine.
Yeah.
Like that's a move that like white belts usually cannot do. If a white belt can start doing that move, they can start inverting well. And I'm like, oh, they probably have a lot more experience. Like they probably are a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's like, do you need to be able to invert in jiu-jitsu? No. But if you can, that's pretty good. Right? Like there's like these weird things where you're like, right? Big Russ will smash the fuck out of you. Does he ever need to invert? Of course not. You know what I mean? Black belt. Amazing. But yeah, it's a weird thing. Like if I see someone invert, I'm like, oh, okay, they're better than just a white belt probably.
Yeah, maybe the sport is too broad and it has to be done a little bit this way. Because my only thing is I like games and I like just like switching up the structure of things. Like I like Sambo Steve always had like games with sparring.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to pick out like a thing out of a hat and you don't know what you get. And then it might just say arm. So all you could do is attack arms. Or there's like one person in the middle of the mat and he's in turtle. And then there's like eight of us like lined up. And then they'll be like, all right, go. And the first person has to go and break the turtle. And once that guy breaks the turtle, then the next person comes and breaks the turtle. Mm-hmm. So that guy just worked turtle for like eight straight dudes, you know, and by the end,
yes,
he's getting demolished. But it's like, oh, you're working on that muscle memory. Like games like that, I just feel like are enjoyable, maybe help learning. I think that's the only thing I would like add. But I was thinking like, if I get old, like say I get a black belt to like 45, something, like I would like to have like almost like a little, I want to teach kids, you know, like, and just toughness and stuff. And so I wonder, like, should you make it more structured or should it be kind of the way it is? And I definitely appreciate the way it is, but I wonder if the structure would. But.
Mm-hmm. And then I think, I don't know who said it, but it's a high level jiu-jitsu guy who goes like reverse. He puts people in situationals. Like, okay, we're going to start from half guard, knee shield, framed up, and we're just going to roll. We're just going to do 1 minute rolls. I'll have you change top to bottom, and he'll do this for like a few rounds. And then he's just watching the coach. And I'm sure he goes through like a little warm up, but something quick though, like, cause I'm pretty sure he's doing this like pretty close to the beginning of class. Afterwards, he makes an assessment of what some of the commonalities he saw was. That's a problem, like where people got stuck or whatever. Now he teaches that for the day.
Interesting. I like that.
So it's
too.
Like addressing exactly what he sees the class needs the most. Now he did give it a little structure because like, okay, go from half guard, go from here. Let's see what you guys do. And then he's like, he contends like, okay, it gives me the best time to teach the class exactly what they need. So I'm not teaching a move that they all know. And then after they're drilling it, I'm like, oh, you guys are good at this. Now I'll show you something else. He's like, I didn't waste that time. You know, he says the other benefit is a lot of times people organically figure out what they need. He's like, you put them in a position that maybe they're not always getting there to, but if you make them go there with opponent after an opponent after an opponent, all of a sudden they'll start finding the themes and figuring out what works. So it's like, it's twofold. They can figure out the problems on their own. And he's like, some of the students might be having particular problems than the rest of the whole class might be, right? Like if six people are having one problem, but my one purple belt's having a different problem, obviously, I'm going to address the six because that's a lot of people having that problem. But maybe that purple belt figured out his problem just through those organic roles.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, oh, that's a very interesting way to go about teaching. And it made me think about it. I'm like, man, like, I don't know how conducive that is for like a white belt class, right? Like, I think that might have to be like, okay, only blue belts and up in this class, maybe. But that might be a really effective way of stratifying your gym, is like have a white belt class where that structure is different, and then doing that structure. I forget who it was. It might even be someone on the B team or something. Like it was someone pretty prominent in jiu-jitsu. Like that's how they teach. And I was like, yeah. Ooh, I can see that being very effective.
Honestly, both are good. Cause even now I'm thinking too, when you say white belt class, we have a fundamentals class. And the interesting thing about our fundamentals class is that a lot of blue belts and purple belts go to the fundamentals class. So that's I don't know if it's just like the time, because it's Saturday morning and it's like, okay, we could go, or if they're like, you know what, today I want to drill and not really go so hard, and so like we'll go. And the benefit is now you have the blue belts drilling with the white belts and they're teaching the white belts. Because yes. I do love that about the sport, where you do need to mix some people sometimes. And then plus that guy Faraz Zahabi said, you could be a purple or brown belt, but if you're only going against purple or brown belts, you're not going to be getting any subs. So like your darts might be getting better, but you might not notice it. But if you roll with a bunch of white belts and blue belts and now you hit your darts, you could tweak your shit on like a little bit of a lesser opponent.
Yes, he's right.
Better yourself. So, you know what? In this conversation, I'm realizing I like the way
things are. Yeah, I mean, it's been around a long time. It does work. We've both benefited from this style.
Yeah, it's just 10% tweaks, like little things, like add some games or add some of this or add some of that stretching. But then maybe
another one of my favorite games in classes is when, I mean, you only do this in grappling. You can't do this in striking. Is the first to score points. We just both start from standing. So if it's a takedown, that wins. If it's a guard pass, that wins. If it's a sweep, that wins. You know what I mean? Like just first to score points wins. It's fun.
Yeah, that's a good game too. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to my coach. We should have a game day.
There's tons of different games to play. Like sometimes we'll warm up with a sumo match. Sometimes we'll warm up with like, okay, the game is you got to tag the other person's foot. That's it. If your hand touches their foot, you win. They do 5 burpees.
Simple
things like that, where it's like, then we'll do things where it's like, okay, you get an underhook, you win. Or it'll be like, okay, if you can not tap their knee, but like hook around their knee with your hand. Okay. That's a win. Like just simple games to like start figuring out entries.
Okay. We're going to write this all down after the podcast, because I feel like these are fun little warm-ups and fun little games just to add on to the dynamic of everything. I like that. Like that, I think that would make it enjoyable. A little bit more enjoyable.
Yeah, it's just different.
Intimidated, where now it doesn't feel like fighting. It feels like a little bit more like, okay, like you gamify it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, people like that one, especially people that don't train. I'll tell them this. I'm like, okay, you want to get like a really simple like understanding of grappling cardio? Then literally that game, okay, just try to tag the other person's foot.
Yeah,
all of a sudden they start basing out, they're starting to sprawl, like they do it naturally, right? Because like, that's the goal. And so now like they have to think about angles, feints, fakes, and all of a sudden they get really tired and like, okay, this is like just entry point grappling cardio.
Yeah, I like that. Or like in the physical challenge, that Korean show where they had to like get the ball, fight for the ball, like, you know, like doing stuff like that, I think is like intriguing. Exciting. It also just reminds me of something, because like when you brought up sumo and maybe like some slightly different arts, like whatever, it's BJJ class, but maybe box to a takedown for a minute, you know, like doing little things.
We've done things where it's like a touch the other person's shoulder. All of a sudden it turns into kind of like striking, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
You get some footwork out of that.
You know the band The Talking Heads?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they have that famous song, This Must Be the Place.
Yeah.
It's like one of my favorite songs of all time. And it's like a classic song. If you play the song, This Must Be the Place, and you hear it, you'll be like, oh, I know this song. I love this song. Right. Especially if you haven't heard it, like you have heard it.
Yeah.
But one thing that's great about that song is apparently that band for that song, just randomly, they all switched instruments with each other.
Oh,
so the person that played bass was like, oh, I'll play like piano. And like the keyboardist played because they're all talented musicians. So they're like, let's just switch it up. And I think like maybe multiple people were involved in the writing process for that song. But that's like maybe their most favorite, like famous song. And it is good to switch it up once in a while, because you'll bring a different angle to the keyboard.
Sure.
You'll bring a different angle to the drums. And so maybe doing a little bit of sumo will help you realize, oh, this is how you make your hips stronger. And then it'll help your mount, you know, like it'll just connect in a different way. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Now, do you think that class is inherently dangerous and that it should be made safer by doing, I don't know, X, Y, Z, like Henner style? Like, let's just say like, okay, no sparring the first 6 months. We just do drills. We just do this. Like, is there... You know, I was mentioning like the foundations. I mean, it is kind of in that Henner mold where you would be like, okay, for 3 days, for 3 sessions, we're just going to do these moves and now you're good. So like, do you think the community would benefit? Are injuries prevalent early on in white belt that would benefit the long-term development and create people that stay in it longer?
Compared to others,
lawsuit scares people?
Compared to other sports, we're in our infancy when it comes to data.
Yeah.
And like, right, like baseball, football, everything is stats, statistics, and analytics. And with fighting, sure. It's kind of like it's, I don't know. I think a little bit of danger is good. And I think on the first day, I wanted to roll. Like, it helped me. I remember Sambo Steve, but it was a healthy roll. He was watching me and he was like, all right, try to stay on top of this guy. And I couldn't. And then he goes, all right, now try to get out from underneath this guy. And 30 seconds in, I was like, yo, I'm done. Like, tap. But right. Like, that taught me like, holy shit, this is hard. I need to do this. So for the way my brain works, I needed to feel humbled by that. And
correct. I feel the same way, but not everyone is that mold.
Yeah. So for those people, if they go, hey, I'm not ready to roll today, like, I don't think I would push you.
Yeah.
But I would ask them to, like, those two people that came in, like, there was no official, like, it was me and another teacher there, but he was like a purple belt. And so it was just more like, let's play a little, like, here's like some, like, do the forward roll, do the break fall, like, don't injure yourself, side control, like, just positions. And then it's like, all right, see what it feels like for a minute and a half. And I use 10% strength, but I feel like it's good. Work up a sweat, work up that heart rate a little, like that fear that somebody's coming towards you. I just think all those things are the things where you're like almost really learning how to position yourself and protect yourself. And I'm still the believer of this is for self-defense. Like, I know people.
Right. That's the angle I was going to come back at you with is what if the person who's coming into it is thinking more along the lines of like, I want to get into this for health reasons. And secondary would be like self-defense. Do you think you might be able to retain more of those members? How do you change the structure without losing the members like us that are like, oh no, self-defense is a big deal?
Maybe, because I think part of it is just mentality. Mm-hmm. I'm aware I'm doing it for self-defense.
Yes.
Right? But it's still the same class. So even if they were teaching me sports stuff, in my head, I'm always intentionally being like, would this be applicable in self-defense? And say it's not applicable in self-defense, I still think though, like, oh, but this is helping my body movements. This is helping me learn agility. This is helping me understand their body. So even if I wouldn't do this particular move, I believe what I'm learning will translate into another aspect of this.
You and I are the same. And I think that's what makes us like hungry is that we're always searching for the relevancy of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The second you think information is irrelevant, you're wrong. You know, like all information is relevant. It's just how you have to find the means in which this is applicable, right?
Yeah.
Not everyone's like that. But if you're taking someone that's like, oh, I just want to get healthy, I just want to lose weight, and yeah, I might learn some self-defense along the way. But then all of a sudden that person gets hurt. You're like, ah, this didn't make me healthy. I just got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those things that's like, would the jiu-jitsu community benefit off of being more profitable if they had more of those people and they weren't getting hurt? Is it even a prevalent number? Are that many people getting hurt? We don't know. So my question is, of course, because the I don't think the big data is there. This is all anecdotally. Do you see like white belts that you just don't see ever again and you just assume that they got hurt, or do you know they got hurt? It's tough. I don't I've been in the game a long time too, and I think it's like, yeah, we probably lose some guys. I don't even think it's like one injury that gets people out. I think it's like living with like the nagging injuries of this or that. And people are just like, I don't want to be hurt no more.
Yeah, there's a few things though. I think one of the things is it's hard. And I think I said this last podcast, but in the beginning, if I didn't go to a class, I felt good. Like I was missing school where I was like, oh, I earned this day off. And I was like, sick. And I think a lot of people, because it's hard and because they're always getting beat up a little bit, don't want to go, and like their back hurts and their shoulders hurt and their arms hurt. And they're like, I don't want to go. And then eventually it's 3-4 weeks and they realize I don't need this in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think it's like a sincere injury. I think it's just like you're getting beat up a little bit and it's just they want to avoid the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know. I feel like I've hurt people by accident. I remember at Sambo Steve's gym, there was a guy that came in and we were wrestling and his toe got caught and I took him down. And so he broke his foot. And I was like, I felt so bad. But plus then I felt bad because I was like, I broke his foot. Then I felt bad. I was like, if this guy stayed for a year at his gym, that's $1,500 that Steve lost. So now, like, I feel bad about that. And I wasn't going hard per se, but I want to get the takedown. And he's like a bigger guy than me, and we are doing fighting, you know? So it was purely accidental. There was another kid at the Staten Island gym, and I feel bad about this too, because I was rolling with him and he was a new guy. He was like a white belt. Whatever, I'm a blue belt. I'm not that much higher, right? And we're about the same size. And one of the guys in the back was funny. This guy, Mike, just goes, Anoop, double leg him. And so I go, in my head, like, that guy's above me. He's like a purple belt. So I was like, okay, I should double leg him. And I fucking rucked this kid. By accident, like, as soon as he goes double leg, I drilled my head into his chest and I took him down and, like, boom, into the mat. And then, like, the main
one of those takedowns where right away you check to see if they're okay.
Yes. And
yeah. I've been there, yeah.
Right away, I did the takedown, and the main coach, who was rolling with somebody, John, looked up and goes, "What happened?" And I was like, "Oh shit, I got in trouble." that was my fear. I was like, "Oh, I took him down," and I was like, "Mike told me to take him down," you know. And Mike laughing like, "Yo, I didn't say destroy him, but it's like he also thinks it's funny." And the kid thought it was funny too. Like, he didn't die.
Okay.
He's like, no, thank you. But now I look back and I'm like, oh shit, I haven't seen that kid in 8 months. Mm. Like, you know, I was like, yo, did I just hurt this kid's emotion, or did his own life, did he get a girlfriend?
Yeah. Maybe he got a job. Maybe he moved. Maybe he went to another gym that was closer by. Yeah. There's so many different things. You never know.
But I'm like, did I hurt him? Like, I could have hurt him. Like, I don't know. I could have hurt his ego. Maybe he's just like, fuck, I'm gonna, I don't know. I don't think there's any, now that I'm thinking about it, I think, like, there are so many big, like, in football, it's like your offense, your defense, and can you catch and can you tackle, and you're tough. Like, maybe it's easier to line, and then you become specialized. You're like, yo, you're gonna be a linebacker, you train with the linebacker, it's like you do, like, you know, and you become this awesome squad, and it helps you, and you love the sport because you start throwing the ball and you play early at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
Where a lot of the people that are coming in or 18, 19, 20, and that's still young, but that's not technically young for other sports, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And then it's like there's a fighting aspect, but then there's a sport aspect, then there's a money aspect, that it's like at least $150. But I'm like, this isn't Planet Fitness, you know, where I'm like, you're always getting taught. And you got to think of it, like, if you learn this for 5-6 years, you'll feel good the rest of your life, you know? So it's like, you can't think about the money, but you have to. I don't know, this conversation is the reverse of most conversations. Most of the conversations, I look back and I go, no, we're right. And now that I'm like in this conversation, I'm thinking, like, you know what? Maybe everything the way it is like good enough. It's just small tweaks.
Maybe. I mean, I know I've been to some jiu-jitsu gyms too, though, that do like a 30-minute warm-up and then like 20-minute instruction. You get two rolls, like, for like, that's it.
Oh, no, I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like that either. But,
hate it either, but I just don't prefer.
30-minute warm-up, I'm like, dude, what a, dang, man. Like, I don't know. It depends. Now, if your warm-up was like, okay, like, I don't know, maybe it's an MMA class. Okay, you're going to work your wall. So guy's got an underhook on you. Your back's against the wall. You know, I'm putting this much time on the clock. And you're warming up, like, doing stuff like that. You're going 50%. I'm like, oh, okay, that's useful.
Yeah.
But when we're doing warm-ups of just like, oh, you're going to do neck bridges for a minute, you're going to do this stretch, you're going to do these rolls, I don't know. That's where I start getting lost. I'm just...
Yeah. Sambo Steve's warm-ups...
Especially at like a higher experience level where it's like, oh no, I've done many hours of this already, you know?
What were like Dean Lister's warm-ups like? Did he do warm-ups?
Yeah, he did like some basic warm-ups. It was quick, and then gets right into instruction.
Gets right into instruction, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because sometimes, yeah, this was like another Reddit thread. They were talking about warm-ups. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yo, I don't pay to fucking learn how to exercise. And then the guy's like, I understand. But also, a lot of you motherfuckers are fat and out of shape. And so, like, we don't want you getting hurt. And so if we really thought you were working out at home, maybe we wouldn't do it, but you're not doing it.
Yeah. So, hey, being athletic helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is one of those things where I think variety would help too, because some of Steve's warmups were long sometimes and I hated them a little bit, but also we would do stuff like, oh, carry this guy around the gym, you know, which was like,
yeah, fun. As soon as it involves another person, I don't mind it as much. So like, I even use the excuse of like, oh, I've done so many hours of like shrimping, like, I don't think I need to do that anymore. it's also like, at what point do you feel like an athlete doesn't need to do that anymore? Maybe not ever. I don't know. But even if you told me, you're like, okay, just drill arm bars from the guard, even though I've also done that for so many hours, at least I'm like, okay, like I'm okay with that because it involves another body and I'm like moving around them.
Exactly.
So it's interesting. I think maybe you just need to involve another person's body and doesn't feel like I'm just dancing.
Yeah, and gamify it. Like the thing when you carry the person around the gym, it's fun because you're like laughing, but you're also learning how to get close to the person. And then we would do things where like the person wraps the belt around you and you got to pull them.
Yeah.
You know? Like, oh, it's just like a grind. And I would feel very strong after those classes. So like, yeah.
Yeah. Even if you like one of the people to be shrimping, it's like, okay, well, wouldn't it be better if you partnered up, top person does a pass, the other person shrimps to re-guard and just do that over and over? Because even that, I'm like, okay, I don't mind shrimping when it's like that. Stuff like that. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to see. I've gone to a bunch of gyms. They all work mostly in the same structure, but have done things a bit differently. There's pros and cons, I guess, to it all.
Yeah.
I'm curious if someone hears this and they have trained with any structure different than the ones we've talked about. I'm very curious to know what that is.
Yeah, what you thought of it and how you guys like.
And DM me because I'm definitely interested to hear. I think both of us being like teachers, that we're interested in how the teaching, as well as just learning and being a student as well.
Yeah. And I think I was just going to say, maybe the benefit is like also like, yeah, once in a while dropping at a different gym, because then you switch it up. Right. And so it's good to just keep your mind sharp and like doing different things. Like I started going to the regular gym more, just weightlifting, just to switch it up. And then like, yeah, just test your body in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a time I went to a gym. I won't say where. It was a different state. And I dropped in and they were like, all right, we're going to do this move. We learned this move. Okay. Now we're going to do the situational where like, now you got to try to do this move live. Okay. And don't let your opponent do it. You know, like this is how you're going to defend it, whatever. We'll put 1 minute on the clock and we'll go, or 2 minutes on the clock. It was a short one. And so I'm partnered up with this guy and I'm not letting him do the triangle that we were just taught. And the coach is like, bro, you're going to give him anything? And I was like, what? I thought we're live. He's like, bro, at least give him something. And I'm like, what? I'm like, all right. So like right away, I just like concede and just start letting him work the move a little bit. Like I just gave him like a little resistance. But it's interesting to see how like a different instructor perceives that, like, oh, we're going to do situationals, you know, I'm going to go with resistance, but he didn't really say that I shouldn't go, or maybe just because my skill level was higher above this person, like, okay, give him something to work with. But I'm like, oh no, shutting it down should show him what he's doing wrong also. So it's very interesting to see how he perceived it versus how I perceived it. We're all different. Yeah, like, I don't know. It's interesting to drop in other gyms for that kind of experience, is to see how they do it.
And also, they don't know you. So maybe they just thought you were, like, somebody using all your strength to, like,
refuse. Well, I think it was no gi. So I just don't think, I'm not sure if I disclosed what belt level I was or whatever. But maybe, like, afterwards, they were like, oh, geez, he's not letting him do anything. But I'm like, I think that was the point.
Yeah.
It was early in class too, so I thought maybe like, okay, we do situationals and then you would like troubleshoot it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, that's fair though. You didn't know. And
yeah, so as soon as he said that, I just conceded right away. I'm like, okay, I'll let him work. But in my head, I'm like, what? I thought that was the purpose of this.
Always get in trouble, Arturo. Did the famous teacher kick you out of the class once?
Oh, dude, teachers never liked me. I feel like I was always like in a room full of people that were talking, I was always the guy, like that got pointed out, punished. And then I would get very antagonizing on that. Like I would be so annoyed by it. Like, all right, this teacher's going to hate me for whatever reason. All right. Like, yeah, but I would just shut down.
Who was the jujitsu teacher that kicked you out once? Didn't you like wear like the wrong?
Fabio Santos. Yeah.
What did he say? You wore the wrong uniform or something?
Yeah. Because I had a blue pants and a white gi top. He, like I was just coming to class for the first time, like try it out. People told me like, oh, it's good cross training. Like, come. I think it was an open mat. I'm not even sure if it was a class. I don't remember. But when I came, literally as soon as I came into the gym wearing my gi, so you can't train here like that. And I was like that. I was like, what? I like smiled, like laughing. And he's like, get out of here. And I was like, huh? And I like, because I laughed, he's like, he like took it as a fight. Like he got like really like close to me. And I was like, oh, dude, I didn't mean any offense by just what I'm wearing. I just came to train. He's like, you can't train here. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going home. Like, I don't have anything else. It's crazy.
I would have thought it was a joke, too. If they said yeah. that, oh, you're busting my balls. Like, haha, funny. And then,
yeah.
like, see, too much structure like that is annoying. All right, man. I think this was a good talk, though, on structure and.
Yeah.
And potential classes. And I'm definitely going to look at classes a little bit differently. But yeah, I thought it was worthwhile discussing.
Right on. Thanks for listening to the Philosophy of Fighting podcast. If you have any questions, suggestions, or if you would like to fight us, send us a DM on Instagram @philosophy_fighting.